with Dion and Alan.
Alan, in our last section, we ended by looking at Exodus 3 and that incredible encounter between God and Moses, what we speak of as the burning bush. And you gave us four wonderful questions. I wonder if you can just bring us back to that. And let's continue with that text, because I really liked what we were getting out of the text by reading it through that lens.
So the four questions were, what do we learn about God? What do we learn about human beings? What do we learn about creation? And what do we learn about their relationship? And we said, we learned that God is a God who wants to engage with us. We learned that human beings have that propensity for engagement. We learned that God comes to us through creation. And then we moved on to the relationship. And we learned a whole lot of things about God now in the relationship. We learned that Moses was somebody that the world would give up on. In fact, the world would put it on their most wanted list.
Mm.
God also puts Moses on God's most wanted list, but wanted for use, not wanted for destruction. Mm. And isn't that beautiful? We learn about it. So what do we learn about God, Dion, from that?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the wonderful thing that that's come out of this text for me, that God pursues us and seeks us out in these creative ways. And that even when others give up on us, I mean, God's got something very special to share with us, you know?
Now, I don't know if you noticed. Did you notice the conversation that God does not have with Moses?
Tell me a bit more about that.
See, so when we're reading Scripture, we mustn't just look at what is being said. We must look at what is not being said.
Hmm.
So Moses is a murderer on the run. The world wants to string him up. Pharaoh's put out the word that, you know, dead or alive. God comes along and says, I need you. I want you. For what? To set people free. Please note that God does not say, Moses, let's talk about your past. Moses, are you sorry for what you've done? Moses, have you asked for forgiveness? Have you confessed? Have you repented? That conversation doesn't take place. By God saying, Moses, I need you, I want you, embedded in that is the forgiveness of Moses. So sometimes, now that's not to say that God won't have that conversation with Moses. I wonder when Moses was writing out the Ten Commandments and he got to that sixth commandment, do not kill. I wonder if he sat down and had a conversation with God around that. Are you sure, God? Not even Egyptian soldiers, God? Are you sure? And God says, I'm sure, Moses, do not kill. And maybe it was in that moment where Moses had to deal with, you know, his past. But are you hearing that? That God sometimes, before dealing with our past, and that we sometimes get obsessed with, God says, I give you a task to do for me in the future. God is more interested in our future than our past.
Mm. You know, Alan, the thing that really sort of strikes me about the way in which you're approaching the text here is we talked earlier about the fact that this same text can often just become a head exercise, you know, between people who believe that God appears in flames in a burning bush and others who say, well, you know, this can't be true because we've never seen it. And somehow when we approach it in this way, it just adds that incredible layer of meaning and depth to the text. Do you think all of the Bible contains the possibility for that kind of discovery?
Absolutely. All of Scripture is inspired that is good for teaching, it says. So absolutely. I would then recommend that people enter the Scriptures with these four questions. Now, as you've rightly put, people on either side of that debate, literal or not, can take these four questions and they can discover together deeper meaning from this text. And more than that, Dion, and this really is important, when we read Scripture, it's not simply about gaining more information.
Hmm.
It is about being transformed by the Word in our action. So here's the challenge. How do we live today honoring the character of God? This character of God who puts you on the wanted list, not to destroy you, but to use you.
Mm.
Can we, after we've read this Scripture and learned this about God, can we ever call for the death of somebody through the death sentence, like some would have called for Moses? I don't believe we can if we want to honor the character of God.
Mm, I mean, it's so wonderful because it seems that, you know, by approaching the text in this way, I can certainly see two things happening. Number one, the text becomes alive again because we encounter the mystery of of God who longs to speak to us new things about our current situation. Do you know, the second thing that also strikes me about this, Ellen, is that when we speak to people and engage with the text in this way, it has the capacity of us learning new things together. Instead of arguing to hold my position and you hold yours, we discover new elements, new texture to the text.
Beautiful. So our task, how do we spell task? T-A-S-K. Our task is to ask. Instead of argue so that we can win arguments, when we enter the scriptures, let's ask. That's our task. Ask one another, what do you see? What are you seeing that I'm not seeing? About, let me remind you of those four things, about God, about human beings, about creation, and about the relationship that they have between one another.
Would you like to respond to this? Send us a text on +27 782 785 300 or visit www.manaandmercy.org.